Hi, I'm Michael Arkin, Director of Contemporary Music and Technology at St. James Episcopal Church. Chances are, you already knew that. But what you might not know is that, like most folks nowadays, between Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, our own website, St. James maintains a pretty solid social media presence. And we achieve that in part due to our robust and engaging online worship services. But high-definition, multi-cam live-stream broadcasts don't produce themselves. It takes a team of dedicated individuals, and our team is expanding. Laura Pesesnik and I would certainly welcome candidates with experience as audio engineers and videographers. But honestly, if you have an attentive ear, are comfortable with iPhones, and have any experience as a musician, you might just have the skill set we're looking to hire. So, for more information about this fun and crucial position, please email laura@stjamesscan.org.
May the strength of God pilot you. May the power of God preserve you. May the wisdom of God instruct you. May the hand of God protect you. May the way of God direct you. May the shield of God guard you against the snares of evil and the temptations of the world. And may the Spirit of God bless you in the coming year. Know that whoever you are and wherever you may be on your journey of faith, you are invited to the Lord's table this morning.
The following podcast is a production of St. James Episcopal Church in Skaney Atlas, New York, and features thoughts and musical reflections based on the lectionary for this week. It is available on our website and Apple Podcasts. All music is licensed to St. James for streaming by One License and Christian Copyright Licensing International. For more information, visit stjamesscan.org.
What more can I ask for? What more can I ask for?
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. One of the scribes came near and heard the Sadducees disputing with one another, and seeing that Jesus answered them well, he asked them, "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your mind and with all your strength.' And the second is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' There is no other commandment greater than these." Then the scribe said to him, "You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and besides him there is no other. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself. This is much more important than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." Then Jesus saw that he answered wisely. He said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." After that, no one dared to ask him any questions. The Gospel of the Lord.
May my words be of you, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Last Sunday, we read the account of Jesus and healing Bartimaeus, who was a blind beggar that Jesus encountered as he and his disciples were leaving the city of Jericho. Today, Mark reports that there was some kind of dispute, but Mark doesn't give us any details of what it was about or who was involved or how long it had gone on or how serious it was. The lectionary is the calendar that gives us the readings for Sunday worship. And between last Sunday and today, it just skips a whole lot of the story, all the details that would provide the context for the conversation between the scribe and Jesus. So I want to just highlight what the lectionary left out. After healing Bartimaeus, Jesus went to Jerusalem. It was time for the celebration of the Passover with crowds of faithful Jewish people. But what was different about this Passover was that Jesus was very well known by now, and he had quite a following, and so the people of Jerusalem greeted him like a beloved king. Besides that, Mark tells us that Jesus went to the temple, the sacred precincts where faithful people came to make sacrifices that were required by religious law, and according to Mark, Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out the people buying and selling animals for sacrifices. He knocked over the tables of the money changers and the chairs of those selling doves. So there was violence and disruption, and Jesus was actually at the center of it. And the backlash from that was not good. Mark tells us, and this is a quote, "When the leading priests and teachers of religious law heard that what Jesus had done, they began planning how to kill him." And there it was. Important people wanted Jesus dead. And over several days, the conflict goes public. Mark describes Jesus walking in the precincts of the temple, It was and still is a huge expanse of raised stone with the temple in one part and other things happening in other parts, right in the heart of Jerusalem, kind of partway up a hillside. There, and this is again a quote, the leading priests, the teachers of religious law, and the elders came up to Jesus. They demanded, "By what authority are you doing all these things? Who gave you the right to do them?" And I kind of get that. You know, if somebody came storming in here on a Sunday morning and started disrupting things with violence, I can imagine a bunch of you, standing up and tackling whoever that is and confronting the troublemaker and dragging him outside. Well, right there, for all to hear, Jesus starts teaching in his usual storytelling style. And the story that he paints is a negative picture of the religious leaders themselves. And they're offended. And they want him arrested. Mark reports that, again, a quote, the leaders sent some Pharisees and supporters of Herod to trap Jesus into saying something for which he could be arrested. But Jesus was clever, and he deftly dodged the trap. So a different group comes trying to trip him up. So all this is the lead up to the story that we heard today. So there's this escalating conflict going on, and even religious sects that are sort of all across the spectrum and usually not in agreement with one another are all in agreement about the fact that Jesus needs to go. There is tremendous animosity against Jesus among the religious leaders all across the spectrum. And this is the atmosphere when the man that we heard about steps forward to ask Jesus a question. One commentator describes it as an escalating rhetorical sparring match. We know something about verbal sparring matches. It's mostly how people talk anymore. Whether the topic is politics or vaccines or how we teach history in the public schools. We regularly witness escalating rhetorical sparring matches, and rarely, rarely is it productive. Hardly ever are we seeing cooperative problem solving to address the tremendous challenges that our world is facing. So I want to suggest that the conversation between the scribe and Jesus is actually an example of a very different kind of interaction than matching barbed comments to see who can one-up the other. You have to kind of surmise this. But the scribe almost seems to admire Jesus. But at the very least, he shows respect to Jesus, which really was a pretty courageous thing to do, given the climate, given the level of anger around him. He actually appears to break rank with the other people in his sect, and he asks Jesus what seems to be a genuine question. And then he does something that we hardly ever see happen anymore. He listens. He listens thoughtfully to what Jesus says. Who does that? Who listens anymore to someone with whom they disagree? And notice how Jesus responds. Jesus gives an answer that any faithful Jewish person would recognize. something so central to their understanding of themselves and their faith. And it's all about love. Love God, love one another. I find it helpful to sometimes look at a different translation. Eugene Peterson in the Message version of the Bible phrases it like this: love the Lord God with, remember, his heart, soul, mind, and strength. He says, love the Lord your God with your passion and prayer and intelligence and energy, with the wholeness of your being, and love others as well as you love yourself. There is no other commandment that ranks with these. End of quote. And right then, this amazing moment of understanding, of recognition happens. They discover that they agree on something so deeply important to both of them. They hold a central value in common. I don't think that Jesus was using some clever strategy. I think it was just the truth. The tribe of one man wants the other man dead. And yet, they find that they have something in common, and it's something that is deeply important to both of them. And in that moment is where they encounter the reality of God's kingdom. Now, please understand something. To love God and love neighbor is not a sentimental feeling of affection. Love of God and love of neighbor is a decision. It's a choice that we make. It's being resolved to behave in a certain way regardless of the circumstances. Love is what we do. It's a commitment to actions. It's choosing to conduct ourselves in every situation, whether someone is watching or not, whether it's popular or not, in a way that is characterized by the highest regard for the humanity and the well-being of the other. Over the last several years, I've heard so many people ask the same question: how do we get people who deeply disagree to come together and really talk? To speak honestly, but also to listen carefully, without judgment, without hostility, without trying to change the other person's mind, without a comeback. It just seems impossible. No one is actually willing to come to the table. St. James Racial Justice and Reconciliation Commission has been talking about this very thing this fall. How powerful it would be if people could step into a highly charged conversation and simply be open and curious. It's hard work. It's risky. And it requires a certain amount of self-sacrifice, what the scripture calls dying to self. Setting aside my agenda, my need to be right, my need to win or hold on to power in order to consider another human being and their felt experience. Where in your life are you finding relationships or conversations difficult? I expect that the holidays will provide plenty of opportunity. I saw a meme this week with the following advice: be sure to bring up politics at Thanksgiving dinner. It will save you a lot of money on Christmas gifts.
But does it really have to be that way? Can we imagine having a conversation like the one between the scribe and Jesus? I think that people of faith, any people and any faith, have the tools and the obligation to take the lead, to look for an opening, and like the scribe, to step out and ask an open and curious question. And then listen. Just listen. We might just find common ground and even the kingdom of God itself in some surprising way. When Jesus answered the scribe's question about which commandment is first, he began this way: "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." The contemporary English version of the Bible says it like this: "People of Israel, you have only one Lord and God." And what that means is that people of faith, as people of faith, we cannot put any loyalties above our obligation to love. Not the causes that we care about, not our political party, not even our family. Our first loyalty is to God, to act from a place of love in any and every situation. Now, I have to be honest and say that's a really impossibly high standard. I often get home after a Sunday morning and realize that the sermon really was for me. It's nice that the rest of you are here. But in the course of the week, God was really putting something on my heart that I need to look at. And that's really hard. This has been a very challenging time. And we are not going to get it right a lot of the time. A lot of the time, right now at least. But when we aim for the standard of love, to hold the highest regard for the humanity and the well-being of each person, when that is our aim, we will find ourselves standing in God's kingdom and standing in God's grace. And that will change the tone and even the direction of the world in which we live. Amen. Thank you.
wherever you are on your journey of faith, all are welcome here. For more information about this or any program offered by St. James, visit stjamesskan.org.